face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're in a tough call, I think, for the route they ran. They dialed up a good play for what we try to do, kind of situational football. What they like to do, we tried to take it away, and Dak was able to hold it for another second. We kind of took the first two reads, the two tight ends, to the flat on our left side, but extended play. He got to kind of get back to the middle, and that's where we were kind of light at, and that was it.
So that's Devin McCourty tacitly calling out the coaching. That was on the game winner, just specifically the CeeDee Lamb game winner.
I'm so glad we're focusing on this comment because it struck me when he said it that night, too.
They dialed up a good play for what we want to do.
Did you hear the one about the personnel?
So go ahead.
I mean, when he basically said, like, you know, hey, you'd like to have more defensive backs? You mean like Steph Gilmore? You know, I thought I took – he had a lot of pointing – I'm trying to call it my column – that pointed those out, that, you know, I thought Devin saying what he did after that game, and he basically said, like, you know, they tried as hard as they could in this game. And he said, we played our hearts out, guys fought, we played well enough, we just didn't make enough plays. That means we don't have enough players. We don't have enough playmakers on this team. We can't make a play anymore. Dante Hightower's not in his prime. That was, these games have been prime Hightower territory. Rob Ninkovich would make a play. Who's going to make a play? Dietrich Wise? Like, I mean, I think guys like Barmore's eventually going to make plays, and he makes plays every game, but game-changing plays with it on the line? Who's going to do it outside of Matthew Judon? He also said, where was it? We're banged up. It's tough. You would want more DBs in, but you guys could see it was tough. He said this was on the 3rd and 25.
The third and 25, again, they had two linebackers out there, neither of whom rushed the passer, Hightower and Van Noy, instead of having one of those guys off for an extra defensive back to GTFB at the stake. So that, like, that's been a second guess personnel-wise on that play. Did they have a seventh defensive back to throw out there?
Bethel, maybe, at that point. I think everybody was still in the game, but they could have put Bethel out there. But, you know, you need special teams players.
I mean, but, you know, this is Devin McCourty. Right, we're not talking about Brian Cox or somebody who was,
this is a perfect soldier,
right? Yeah. This guy walks the line as well as anybody down there, and maybe in the history of the franchise or the Belichick era, for him to start talking about the wrong call and, you know, basically implying that they don't have talent and they're out coached like that. That to me is a freaking blast.
He's also a realist, and let's be frank, he hasn't had any reason really up until now. You know, maybe there 2011-ish where the defense wasn't that good to really be honest about what was, and he was really young then. You know, since then they've had pretty good units. You know, this is now, like I said, this is now two almost full seasons there, you know, or the old 16-game schedule where this has been going on, and I think he's being honest. And he even said last week on his podcast, he ripped himself. He said it was one of the worst games he's ever played. And I bet you he's putting himself into this about, you know, we fought really hard. Just a lot of us don't have it anymore. We just don't. We're not the same. We're not the same guys. Now,
he did suck last
all
week.
That I've said today, I still think this team can be good. But Bill has to take over the defense. It has to start there with better play calls, better usage of the personnel, and they need Bill's touch in that.
I'll just say it one more time. 3rd and 25 was not about personnel.
No.
You have the personnel to defend 3rd and 25. You have the personnel to just, by simply getting back, forcing them into a 4th and 10 or a 4th and 15 or a 60-yard field goal. And that's how that should have been played, and it wasn't. And that was about coaching. A couple calls here before we do 10 questions with the big boy. Ernie and Rivera. Go ahead, Ernie.
How you doing? You know, they made Matt Jones the quarterback. Let him quarterback. That play, he got lit up. Don't you think if he could have audible, he would have called the run play? He can't audible. Okay, I saw that coming on TV from here. They loaded up on that side. He could have.
Did they load up on that side, or no. Did Gregory just dust Kajust one-on-one? Was that what that was?
Just got beat. He got beat. And okay. Gregory just made a play. He was really good in this game.
Give me your thoughts on Mac Jones, please. Chris Casper is listening.
I thought Mac was good for the most part. You know, I thought the first half, I thought he was spectacular. I do think him getting decapitated, like Petey the parakeet in Dumb and Dumber, affected him. And it's going to affect anybody. But still, the kid had balls. He kept coming back. I mean, the 75-yard touchdown pass. But, you know, he's a little off on some of his passes. A little of the, you know, there was a Myers. I think there was a Myers one in the middle that was a little high. There was the pick six to Bourne that was a little high. The Aguilar play, would you like a donkey wide receiver there who's big and physical to you know, shove off and put it on him?
You're talking the last three and third and three?
Last third and three. But still.
How about the one that Aguilar
pass was, like, floated out.
How about the Aguilar drop in overtime?
Is that brutal. That's at midfield. It's all Aguilar.
1,000% on Aguilar.
1,000%. And I think he's still feeling his way through the offense. And, I think they're trying to figure out the way to use him. Like, him on the boundary on that last third and three. That's not his ideal spot. He's a finesse receiver. That's a physical route. And look, Jones's pass wasn't great. And if you're going to put most of the blame on it, it would be on Jones.
I thought it sucked.
Yeah, I mean, you need to put it on him. Just
and also
like,
not what he does. I can't recall him throwing one back shoulder like that all year. I'm sure he has, but it just doesn't. I mean,
he does it.
I've seen him complete a million slants and in cuts. Okay, and that feels like kind of a bread and butter thing that he does well. They do well. How many times have they needed it and he's thrown back shoulder 7 yards down the field on the boundary? How many times has that happened this year?
Not a lot. I tell you though, I wonder if maybe some of the plays are restricted because of his arm.
So I mean, so by the way, I didn't like that decision to try that kind of play. Now your question, Matt?
Yeah, I worry about his arm, Greg. I don't think his arm right now is strong enough. And if you want, like again, I we've talked about this a little bit. I do hope and believe that a guy's arm can get better. But watching him, that ball stays in the air a long time sometimes. A long time. And in that league, that's too long.
Even on the 75-yarder.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
And a better safety play picks that off.
Absolutely.
And ends the game. So on his arm.
Does he have enough arm?
Yes. That being said, a lot of things have to be right for his arm to be right. Like, I'm sure this is going to, you'll probably start getting tweets from even like football people around here to be like, you think this throw is good enough? Blah. Yeah, that's because he was able to, it was a clean pocket. You know, he had no 6'6" guys in front of him where he couldn't see. A wide open pocket. He could step into the throw and boom. Yeah, he could throw it. There are some throws that he makes, you're just like, that's plenty of arm. When it's a little off script, it gets a little dicey. Now, that being said, I do think he has enough arm. I think his arm will get better over in time. Brady certainly did. And look, did you think Drew Brees had enough arm?
Yeah.
Borderline.
I think Brees' arm is probably his ceiling. And I think Mac Jones has more guts than Drew Brees. So you put all that together. Brees is smarter. Sorry, he just is. I mean, excuse me. Jones is smarter.
Than Brees?
Yep. Mm. Brees was propped up by Peyton.
Yeah, and
Peyton's the brains there.
And a dome, but go ahead.
Yeah. I think that Mac Jones is tougher than Drew Brees. And in terms of clutchness, I always had issues with Brees there. And I think that Jones is a little bit more mobile than Brees.
Yeah.
And he's a little taller. So to me, I think the ceiling you're hoping, if you're a Patriots fan, you're hoping for the best for Mac Jones, is Drew Brees, and I'm fine with that.
Well,
I'm fine
with Drew Brees. Fine. You should be through the roof as a Hall of Fame.
Well, I'm talking about the arm because he's concerned about the arm. I mean, it depends. Do you think Drew Brees has enough arm to be a quarterback, a successful quarterback in today's NFL?
Yeah, let me tell you what. But I don't think this kid's arm is Brees' arm right now.
It's not right now.
And I'll
no question.
Honestly, let me tell you what. I don't know if Breeze would have made it in New England or New York or one of those northeast
windy
northeast stadiums with
and we'll see about that
weather
too
and wind. Like that's a big thing. That's where Brady people.
Yep.
I mean, understand. I was going to say underrate. I don't think you underrate it. He threw little darts, and so he was good in those conditions. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Breeze would have been a different guy if he had to play up here.
If this kid's arm stays the way it is right now, not good enough. It's not good enough.
It might not. I mean, you bring up the weather in the winter. We'll see. It's a valid question. It's one that I have now that you brought it up, and we will see. I do think, just like I said, just like before when I said I didn't say Mac Jones is a franchise quarterback. I said, I think he's going to be a franchise quarterback. I'm projecting him 2, 3, 4 years down the road.
Mike, that touched on to Kendrick Bourne. I'm glad he said it. It wasn't me. I wanted to say it yesterday.
It was definitely a floater.
I shut my mouth. Hey, Miz, what do you know about football? A good safety picks that sucker off. That was horrible defense.
Safety, totally
horrible defense. Terrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. And I felt the same way I told you about the Hunter Henry touchdown the week before in Houston. He got the ball there. It was in the right spot, but boy, it was in the air a long time.
How about this Hunter Henry touchdown?
Yes.
That was a lollipop.
Yes. I see a lot of those with him. The arm's got to get stronger. He doesn't have a good enough arm right now.
See, Maz, this is his flaw. This is his bias because he always loved like Clemens and Nolan Ryan. He hated Jimmy Key. He told me.
That's
he doesn't like those soft.
Jimmy Key?
The soft thrower.
Blue Jays. Soft tossing lefty.
Oh, shows how much you know, big boy. Because I think there's a chance that Zach Greinke's going to shove it down the Red Sox.
What about Tony Fossis?
Zach Greinke and his 90-mile-an-hour, two-seamer on the black. The Red Sox have trouble with these junk guys, and Greinke knows
delusional.
How to pitch.
Delusional.
Okay.
Spot tonight.
Let's do 10 questions with Abner Doubleday over here right after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry liar. Literally pathetic.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions with Greg Bedard. 10 minutes to do it. We need buzzer options. Jimmy, what do we got?
The nerd bull.
Okay, can't say that. Go ahead.
Hi, what do you think about Hightower this year? He sucks.
Okay. Don't know who that was.
Yeah, I don't think the Red Sox have it to go the distance.
It must have been Mass.
That was a good negative Red Sox caller.
I think they're going to choke or give up.
Is that your dad?
I talked over. No, that's one of the few holdovers from the Fellowship of the Miserable. Go ahead.
Yeah, same answer I gave last night, Mike. Nothing's changed.
God. That was a good one.
It's Wayne Gretzky. Do you know we have Wayne Gretzky? Hey, did we mention we have Wayne Gretzky? Here's Wayne Gretzky, everybody.
That's TNT's broadcast. Go ahead.
Last one.
And Justin Herbert in that division. Hardy.
All right, number 10. Thoughts on Sean McDermott's decision to go for it on 4th and inches in Tennessee last night instead of kicking the field goal and sending it to overtime. Thoughts on Josh Allen's quarterback sneak attempt.
Bills. That was a shame last night. Oh, but anyways, he made the right decision. I didn't like, and I liked the sneak call, but why did he start out in the shotgun? Like, why can't you guys get organized? Like, what's going on? They tried to sneak. Oh, no, I'm coming up to the line. They're just too smart for their own good sometimes. And, you know, Josh Allen doing his thing back there. But the thing I didn't like about it, or I laughed at, is, of course, Sean McDermott bitched to the officials after the game. Of course, that was the first thing he did. He had to be interrupted for the handshake because he was bitching again. McDermott's a great coach. He complains all the time.
Yeah.
I like the decision. I hated the execution. It was the worst quarterback sneak I've ever seen. Like, why are you stepping backwards to go forwards?
Yeah.
Take the snap and go.
Right call, poor execution. They didn't block the sneak well, but then Josh Allen slips and falls like a dummy. It was terrible.
Absolutely. On Josh Allen, right call, poor execution by the quarterback. Next.
I think they're gonna. I think they're gonna choke or give up.
Number nine, thoughts on Aaron Rodgers taunting the crowd in Chicago on Sunday?
I thought it was hilarious. And like, if you've never been there, like, it's the rivalry is so weird. Is it really a rivalry? I know every time it comes up, like they all say, "Oh, the oldest rivalry in the NFL." No one cares nationally. The only people who care are Packers fans and Bears. No, really, just Packers fans. It's not a rivalry. Like, when was it ever good? When were both teams good at the same time? Never. It's just dumb.
I think Rodgers is a tool. He's a tool. I think everything he does now, he comes off as a tool.
It was kind of funny, but it's ultimately cheesy. You trolled the loser Bears. It'd be like Brady trolling the Bills. Of course you own them. They suck. They've always sucked. How about not crapping yourself in another NFC Championship game?
You freaking loser. You loser. Exactly, Murray. Where was that run into the end zone in the NFC Championship game in the fourth quarter with a chance to go to the Super Bowl? Oh, so this is great, Aaron. Nice. Okay, now you have a chance to go to the effing Super Bowl. You're inside the 10-yard line in the NFC title game with a clear lane to run into the end zone, and you don't do it. Yet you'll do it in week 5 against the stupid Bears and pull out your Schmenzer. Oh, you freaking loser. That's what that is. Loser, loser, loser. Next.
Hi, what do you think about Hightower this year? He sucks.
Okay, when Joe Judge says it's definitely going to get better for the Giants, you say what?
No. Put your house on the market. It's over. They're going to clean house. It's all starting over again. Hopefully the housing market gets better for him.
So when Joe Judge says it's definitely going to get better for the Giants, I say true when they fire you.
Yeah, and I say true when they hire Belichick.
Next.
Yeah, same answer I gave last night, Mike. Nothing's changed.
Thanks, Bill. Are the Cowboys, Greg, a legit Super Bowl contender? The Cowboys.
Yes, they are. I mean, they're unbelievably talented. Can they kidnap Mike McCarthy, like, during the playoffs? Or at least cut off his headset or something like that? Just let Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore do their thing.
Yes, they are, because of the quarterback. The quarterback is elite, and because of that, they are a contender.
No, they aren't, because of Mike McCarthy.
Yes, so they will contend. We're going to parse words here. They will contend, but they won't punch through because you can't go all the way playing the way that they play. Next.
The nerd bullshit.
Okay, does Arizona going into Cleveland and blowing out the Browns without a head coach say more about the Cards or the Browns?
I think the Browns, they're just pretenders. Will people stop mentioning them as like, they're really good, they're going to do this? They're the Browns. They stink. They always fall on their face.
Arizona. Again, I say absolutely Arizona. The Browns were coming off a loss to the Rams, going home. Arizona's going on the road. Like, I think Arizona's legit. I had Arizona losing this game. I give them a lot of credit.
Cardinals, 4 more touchdowns from Kyler Murray, 5 sacks by the D, 3 turnovers by the Browns, none by the Cardinals. They're for real. Arizona.
Next.
And Justin Herbert in that division.
Who is currently the biggest tool bag head coach in the National Football League? There are so many options.
Dan Campbell. He's crying at the podium.
It's a good one.
I got a tie in mind. Joe Judge, but we've already dumped on him, and Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer's another one, you tool bag.
Dan Campbell crying at the podium 2 weeks ago. Then he blames Jared Goff for all the problems this week. He's an ass clown.
Next.
Yeah, same answer I gave last night, Mike. Nothing's changed.
Okay, Maz said last week after that Texans game that this is starting to feel like the 90s Patriots, the early 90s Patriots, this kind of dysfunction and these kind of horrible games. So let's just play along with that, shall we?
Yes.
Number 4, who is your favorite Patriots player from that era, the Rod Russ, Dick McPherson, that era of the Patriots?
Ben Coates. What a badass. He was so good. You know, it's really a shame that Gronk has sort of taken all the oxygen from, because Coates was damn good.
Yeah, he was.
He was a man. So, look, Andre Tippett was still around at the end there. So I said Andre Tippett. I loved Tippett. But if you're looking for, like, a no-name on a bad team kind of guy, do you remember Vincent Brown, the Undertaker?
Sure, yes.
I loved Vincent Brown. I loved him.
Yeah, so if you're going pure suck 91, 92, Vincent Brown, the guy was a tackling machine. I loved him.
So you can take an average. Like, mine's Grogan. I used to love to see him come in and try and get that done with the freaking neck, with the neck pad, and he couldn't throw, and, like, that whole thing.
Toughest quarterback I've ever seen.
Next. It's Wayne Gretzky. Do you know we have Wayne? Hey, did we mention we have Wayne Gretzky? Here's Wayne Gretzky, everybody. Who is your least favorite player from that era?
I went without a player just because I wanted to mention this guy one time, but Victor Kiam was just my least favorite person of that entire area. What a joke that guy was.
Scott Zolak.
Hugh Millen.
That was mine, too. I hated Millen.
Doug Flutie. That's an easy good one. Trick question next.
Hi, what do you think about Hightower this year? Yeah. He sucked.
What person or story or incident typifies to you, symbolizes best the dysfunction of that era?
It has to be the Lisa Olsen episode with Zeke Mowat and all that. I mean, just gross. I mean, grow the hell up. Be professional, for crying out loud.
I mean, I had that one, too. We lived it, for crying out loud. We were in the middle of that thing. I'll never forget that.
Well, I was just a little office boy at the Herald, but yes, if that what you means by being in the middle of it.
Clerk.
Yeah, that's what I was.
That can be it. I mean, that's the story that got me reading the sports pages. I was 14 at the time. I remember my parents talking about it. I'm like, wait, huh? What happened? And that, yeah, it was what, 90, 91? I was 14. That was unbelievable. Lisa Olsen, the locker room incident.
Do you remember she got reassigned to Australia for that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and that opened up a spot on the staff. And you know who got it?
You.
Attaboy, man.
This guy right here. Yeah. So I have a thank you to Zeke Mowat.
Wow. So I know everyone's going to say that. I'll go with... It is kind of classic that the Sullivans lost the team because the Dingbat brother decided to invest all of their money in the victory tour.
For Michael Jackson,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But it wasn't even Michael Jackson. It was the Jackson 5.
Correct.
They were in their 20s or 30s or whatever. The Jackson 5 had long kind of ceased to be a thing. It was really just Michael by that point. And they invested in this Jackson tour, which is ultimately what put them into bankruptcy and how they had to get rid of the team. The freaking victory tour.
Yep. By then, they were just the Jacksons.
So, next.
I think they're gonna choke or give up.
Is there anything you miss about that era or look forward to in some perverse way if the Patriots should, for some unfortunate reason, go back there?
Hands down, the uniform. I love the uniform. I loved it. And this, you know, blueberry thing that they wear.
Horrible.
Oh, it's awful.
Atrocious.
Jonathan, if you're listening, Stacy,
stop it.
Tell Robert, ditch the uniforms. They're horrible.
Is there anything I want to go back to? No. Not a freaking thing. No.
Can I go back to senior year in high school?
I never, ever want to go back to that Patriot era. They were a laughingstock. They were a pathetic, laughable, poorly run franchise. They didn't belong in the league, frankly. No, I don't want to go back.
I'm with Maz, yeah. They were a laughingstock. I do miss the old dump stadium. I loved that place. It was kind of anarchy in there. But other than that, no, it's a hell I don't want to revisit.
It was a good place to watch a game.
Yeah.
I mean, there really was. I mean, on the sidelines, there weren't any bad seats. It was really a nice, tight little product there. I just have a question. Does the NFL still do blackouts? Does that exist?
I don't think they have. They're very rare now. Like, no, I think they exist if you don't sell the seats, but they all sell the seats. Exist.
No, but I've never heard of it. Like, in Jacksonville, are the games blacked out in the Jacksonville market? Do blackouts, because it used to be, remember here?
Like, it happened all the time.
What a factor it was. You couldn't watch them in a lot of those years. You know, so the local blackout was a big thing when we were kids. Do they even still do it? And not that I would look forward to that or anything. Yes, too.
The policy apparently ended in 2014.
I thought so. I don't think they do blackouts anymore.
Wow.
Isn't that unbelievable? And it had been for 7 years. Is that right? They don't even do blackouts anymore.
That's just from a quick Google search.
Again, it's story time. I used to intern at Channel 5, and Mike Lynch's brother had to come into the station to watch the games.
Right?
Well, I'm serious.
No, you'd all have to do something.
Yes.
Go to a bar, drive out of town. Could you even watch it in a bar in those days? Now that I'm trying to think about
it. Yeah, because I think they could get it on a satellite dish. I think they
couldn't watch the freaking games.
Yeah, no,
there
they weren't on TV.
There are kids listening right now.
Who have no idea what we're talking about.
None.
You had to turn on the 6 o'clock news and watch the highlights. Yes. I'm not kidding.
Freaking McBones, like, man, I couldn't watch it on Twitter?
Okay, back to your phone, 617-779-0985. First, an update.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Hold on, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Our job is always to be ready to go, you know. So if he says go for it on 4th and 10, we're going to go for it on 4th and 10. If he says go for it on 4th and 2, we're going to be ready to go for it on 4th and 2. So if he tells us to do anything, we're going to do it. So, whatever Bill decides in those situations, there's certainly, you know, we have to do a good job of being ready to execute our part of it, you know, whether we're going for it or not.
That was Josh McDaniels on those 4th down calls, which is, I'm sure that was an answer he was more than happy to give. Whatever Bill decides, don't look at me. We're ready to go. Whether we go for it, whether we punt, whatever it is, our job is to be ready to go. But whatever Bill decides, and that's an easy one for the offensive coordinator to wash his hands, and I'm not saying that he's wrong to wash his hands of it. That should be a head coach's decision to go for it or not. That's his call, and the offensive coordinator has to be ready. But that I don't think Josh would have any compunction letting everybody know that, reminding them of that fact.
No, and you know what? How do you answer that if you're him? And protect Bill.
Well, yeah, without throwing it in Bill's lap, there's no way to do it.
Exactly. Like, once you're asked the question, is like, well, you know, I don't want to get into that. I mean, you know, that, like, you can't even say that, mm-hmm. right? So he answered it as best he could. You know, like, I don't get in that. Our job's to be ready. He wants to go, we go. He doesn't, we don't. End of story. Like, and don't even, but either way, it's on Bill. I mean, I'm glad he answered it the way we did, because it's on Bill.
And just before I go back to the calls, Greg Bedard, do you think the Pats should have been going for some of those 4th down situations?
Absolutely. Especially the one in 4th and 3 in overtime. I mean, Bill had to know, I have to do whatever I can to win it on offense, because if we punt or we kick a field goal, we're losing. We're not stopping this team. We're not going 80 plays in this game with that track squad on the other side and keeping up with them. We can't keep up with them. We haven't all day. We have to win it now. And then he just 4th and 3. No, punt. Yeah, that was worth it.
And again, just to revisit the end of the first half, too. Like, after they're taking timeouts on defense, they get that turnover to not even try to go for 3. Like, did that blow your mind like it did to me?
It reminded me of A Few Good Men. Why the 2 orders? Why did you take the timeout if you were just going to sit on the ball?
You can't give me pop culture references.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean, Greg. Keep going.
But anyways,
just ignore him.
Why? Like, if you're going to take a timeout before the 2-minute warning to, quote-unquote, get the ball back, then do something with the ball. Like, at least all they did was run once. Like, at least try spread them out, shotgun, draw, maybe a screen, and then see what happens. Okay, fine. It didn't work. Whatever.
The run I hate, too, because if you just want to get to the tunnel, then take a knee on 1st down. Don't even hand off. Don't even risk another fumble from your running backs who've been fumbling all season long. Like, if you really just want to be safe and get in there, then get in there.
That team is aggressive and dumb. See if you can get a DPI. Chuck it down the field.
Now, that's what they should have been doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, that 1st down was even a tweener. Was even a having the baby.
I love his answer about, like, well, we were getting the ball to start the second half.
You'll hear that coming up.
What happened to, like, trying to score double points?
Some calls here with the big boy. Tom's in New Hampshire. You're up next. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi. First of all, I'm a Belichick guy. However, I think there's enough of a sample size post-Brady to really take a step back and see what's going on. And if you take the coach and GM as two different people, the coach to the GM would say, I need more players. The GM to the coach would say, you need coaching changes. And right now it just seems like one guy has too much power. The organization balance is gone, and the QB covered up a lot of the flaws.
It is Tom. Thank you for the call. If Bill Belichick were the GM,
Tom Brady?
If Bill Belichick were the GM of this team and was being coached the way it was coached, Bill Belichick would fire that coach.
Yeah, absolutely, he would.
If Bill Belichick were coaching this team and there was another GM, Bill Belichick would be going behind the scenes to his favorite media guys, telling them how badly the GM sucks and look at the groceries that he's giving me. He would, if Bill had just one of the two positions and the other were carrying on the way it's carrying on right now, he would hate that person.
Absolutely. And look, the beauty of it here is that it's all one guy.
So we can't, we have, who are you going to fire now?
I mean, Bill can't escape it now. And this thing has to turn for him. I think, Greg, what was that line you said that someone texted you that it must be killing Bill that his legacy is getting worse every week or mm-hmm. something like to that effect?
Yeah.
There's some truth to that.
No doubt there
like
is.
Like the way this thing is deteriorating, they are not getting any better. And we start having real conversations now about whether their approach and their coaching methods and their philosophies are outdated and the game has passed them by. Think of that. Like if you're Bill Belichick, you want that narrative out there?
Those are the stakes.
It's happened to everybody else. Absolutely. At some point in time, Chuck Knoll, Don Shula, whoever. I know you mentioned a bunch of them like last week.
Tom Landry,
yeah.
Game passes you by.
Yeah.
And so we don't know that yet with Bill.
Nope. But I do not. Don't take it out of context.
So, right. I'm not answering that question. Has the game passed him by? Too early to tell. But it is absolutely fair to ask that question and to start wondering about it and to take a close look at it. And if Bill Belichick were the president or GM of this team, he'd be looking at his coach saying, I got to see if this has passed you by. There's no doubt about it. And if he were the coach of the team, he'd look at the GM and say, you've handed me a bucket of crap here for a roster. So, like, neither end has been particularly hot.
An expensive bucket of crap.
Which is something that I'm sure Carlton in Tampa can co-sign on. Hi, Carlton.
Hey, guys. He's digging himself, meaning he being Bill Belichick, a deep, deep hole that I don't know that he's going to be able to get out of. He's now 0-4 at home this year. He had five home losses at Cleveland in 1995, but, you know, he hasn't even come close to having four home losses in a row as the head coach of the New England Patriots. He's 13 games under 500 without Brady, counting his games at Cleveland. He's five games as the Patriots coach under 500 without Tom Brady. And Tom Brady is 20-6 without Bill Belichick. So how Bill climbs his way out of this And the icing on the cake is, for crying out loud, why do they keep going to his, quote, defensive coach when he's making all these crazy maneuvers with his face that you just go, I would have zero confidence in the defense, for crying out loud.
The facial gestures are so unsettling. Even Carlton in Tampa says, oh, my God, what is that kid doing? That's how bad it is. And it's bad. It's not a great look. If the defense were balls out, if the defense were great, maybe those camera shots would be just sort of like a quirky thing. Like, look at this nut, but boy, he runs a good defense. It'd be part of his charm.
Oh, yeah, they'd put it on a T-shirt over a Barstool.
I'm telling you, I said a couple of weeks ago, like, he looks like Spicoli on the sidelines. You know what it reminds me of? Like, with these, you remember Heath Ledger's Joker Murray?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember, like, that's how I feel. Like he's not right.
Thank you for not going to me for that reference. The final, it's not a final word. It's a long commercial-free segment, and it comes your way right after these commercial, these words from our sponsors.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank.
It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Coach, what went into the decision before the half to kneel the clock out there?
So we're getting the ball to start the second half.
At the end of the first half, I think last night the question was asked, like, why taking the knee? I think the answer was you were getting the ball at the start of the second half. And I know in the past we've probably seen situations where that could go either way. 1:30 on the clock. And I'm just curious, what was it about the game or the conditions of the way things unfolded that made that the decision for you instead of maybe taking a more aggressive tack at that time?
Yeah, same answer I gave last night, Mike. Nothing's changed.
But I guess I was more curious in that you've done maybe a different decision in the past in that situation, right? So I there must have been something about the game or the situation that led to that, right? I mean, I think we could probably go back and see situations where you approach it differently, right?
Sure, every game is different.
So why not a little more aggressive there?
Because we were going to get the ball in the second half. We went back and, you know, wanted to get settled in on the second half, you know, at halftime. Same thing I said last night.
How do you feel about that explanation there, Big Boy?
First of all, great job on Mike. And that was like he did it in the nicest, most Reese way possible. And Bill just still wouldn't give anything up. I think it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like there wasn't any huge breakdown, in my opinion, that they needed to get into the locker room and fix, or else they didn't have a chance. What was the score then? They were
14-10, maybe.
Just stand by. Just keep going.
I think it was 14-10.
At least every NFL team runs some sort of play
drive
where.
Starter.
Yeah, some drive starter, some screen, draw, something. And you know Dallas is one of the most aggressive defensive over-pursues. You know, Micah Parsons is great, didn't do anything in this game. Why? Because the Patriots had him running around like a chicken with his head cut off all game. And to not call one of those plays where you're like, all right, here's a sucker play. Safe sucker play. They just ran it right up the gut. That was awesome.
Straight handoff, right. Your thought, Maz?
So, look, I think Bill gave a little bit of a glimpse into his answer there when he said, you know, we wanted to go in and he basically said regroup at halftime, which tells me that he didn't have confidence in the way they looked at the end of the half. So he just is not going to say that. So I don't blame Reese for asking. You should ask him. The guy never gets his feet held to the fire in 20 years, for crying out loud, when it comes to game strategy.
They were leading 14-10.
14-10, exactly.
That's coaching scared. So you have the lead.
Absolutely.
And you get the ball to start the second half. It's house money.
Coaching scared. I understand his reasons. Get the offensive line straightened out.
Yep.
Make sure Jones doesn't get his head knocked off again. Put the ball on the ground. I get it. But again, that's a conservative mindset, is it not? You had free points there potentially if you take the chance. And the whole other thing that, like, did you really just think you were going to grind that game out like that the entire way, that Dallas at some point wouldn't put points on the board and you wouldn't have to match it in some way or get your point total up? Do you really think you're going to win that game 17-13 or something like that?
That's a great point because you had to know they were coming. And I think I tweeted it halftime. They're going to need more points because the Cowboys are going to get their crap together.
I think Bill's expecting that he can still win these games 17-13.
Oh my God.
Hell, he almost did against Tampa. Maybe that played into it. But this is 2021. It ain't 2001. It's really, really hard to win games like that nowadays.
I tell you, even if they, you know, had they gone for it there at the end of the second quarter, even if they go field goal, they're up two scores, right? Mm-hmm. They go to 20-10.
Never mind the momentum. They just had that great goal line stand. You score points, go into the tunnel, the crowd's up, everybody's up, then you come out. It's like, oh my God, he didn't want to take the chance.
He's lost his nerve.
Freaking gross, if you ask me. Couple more calls here before we let Greg go. Here's Tom in Dorchester. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, boys.
I want to talk about Mac Jones. I hear the brain talking about Mac Jones. He was worried about him. This kid is a franchise quarterback. He's probably throwing about 40 to 45 miles an hour now. He'll be throwing 50 to 55 miles, 57 miles an hour in 3 years. He'll be close to 60 in 5 years. But I don't know if he's going to be around that long, because if he has to be quarterback for these two, Mo and Larry, they're not going to be – he's going to look for another team quick.
Okay, well, he doesn't have rights to go look for another team quick. Can they protect him, Greg? Can they protect him better?
Yeah, they will. I think it's going to get better. I think I said on here, there were internally, I'll just say that they weren't happy with Isaiah Wynn and what he's done this offseason and how he came back to the team, even though they picked up his fifth-year option. Maybe they didn't realize it at that time. But I do think it's going to be better. And if Isaiah Wynn, you know, just like Owenu, who's now being probably moved to right tackle, wins on the spot. You know, now they know that Heron can play a little bit, and it, you know, if they have to, they can help Heron over there. He's on the spot that he needs to play better, but I do think they can protect him. His arm strength, you know, I had that question. I think, I don't know if it was during the draft I think it was right after they drafted him, and I watched more film on Jones, and I asked somebody in the league, I said, what was Jones's velocity, because they do that at the combine.
It's a metric.
And I forget exactly what it was, but it was very comparable to a lot of quarterbacks that I had questions about that I was like, I don't think he has a strong arm as that guy. Turns out it was pretty close. But again, it has to be all set up for him. In those kind of drills, there's no rush. There's no throwing off your back foot. When he has to throw off his back foot, then it gets a little dicey.
Yeah, or when he has to throw off his back.
We've got, how about Dan and Groton? Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, so my only argument, and I'm definitely, you know, I was hoping for a better debate than we have right now, because Brady has certainly proven to be the better candidate, but does Belichick get at least a little bit of leniency? I mean, he had the guy, ownership made him trade him. You talk about Mac Jones is going to develop over the next 4 years. That would have been Garoppolo till now. He may not have offered the same discount.
So, Dan.
That Tom Brady did. Yeah.
He gets some leniency. Okay, but you said 3-4 years, you know, for Mac Jones to develop? No.
Well, that and also the fact that he now has to put a makeshift defense together because his only options, and it's his own fault as a GM, but his only options were...
Okay, Dan, but I don't think it's unreasonable to expect him, even with a lot of new personnel on defense, to properly defend 3rd and 25. This is what I'm talking about, 3rd and 25.
Look, given that Belichick is the coach, I'm sorry, Mike.
Go ahead.
This has been a train wreck. We're talking about Bill Belichick here, okay? The standards are a little higher than your average schmo who's standing on the sideline. They've had two punts blocked. The quarterback is going to get killed. They can't stop 3rd and 25. They finally forced a fumble this past week for the first time. They had 5 last year. Given who the coach is, it's a disaster.
It's not good enough. He gets a mulligan for last year, but now we're getting to the midpoint of this year, and it still blows. So you tell me, how much does he get? How much time does he get, caller? How much time does he get, Boston? How much time does he get, Robert?
And like, Jones it can't be 3 or 4 years. You need to see the jump in year two of quarterback.
I'm trying to tell you, and I'm not just talking about him singularly. I'm talking about winning.
Sure.
Winning. You don't spend that kind of money in free agency just to have a 5-12 developmental year for a single player. That wasn't the idea.
It blows me away that the Patriots, under Bill Belichick, can't block for the punter or the quarterback.
Just real quick, because we brought this up. Somehow we got to NFL blackouts. Guy in Franklin, quickly, go.
Yeah, guys, you were talking about the blackouts. Back in the day when we did the blackouts, you could go to, there was a couple of bars in Worcester that you could go to check it out, because I think they had satellite from Springfield, because Springfield wasn't part of the blackout parts.
But not in Boston. Like, could you even go to, you know, and this is before the Sunday ticket. This was like, I used to go to the Sports Depot in Brighton.
Yeah, right.
Remember that? You know,
sure, of course.
Do you know who owned that? I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought.
Eddie?
Christian Arkin.
Oh, yeah.
Christian Arkin's family owned the Sports Depot?
I think so.
Yeah, his family, they've owned a bunch of bars.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Oh, I love that place. And that's where the Bruins hockey games there.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, I know that's where I used to go, but like, it was actual satellite.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Satellite.
Yeah, right.
So, but if the Patriots were blacked out in Boston, did they black it out on the dish? To, like, I can't remember. But the thing is, Outside of a few hardcores, people weren't all that horny to go find the Patriots game if they were blacked out.
Oh, no, no. No, they were
just
wretched.
Let it go.
Oh, yeah. No, no, you're better watching movie reruns of those years.
All right. Anyway, that's a total aside. I'm sorry. Bedard, any final thoughts? Any final words, sir, in 10 seconds or less?
Hey, thoughts the Patriots. On Chris Gasper, Greg.
Hey, the Patriots are playing the Jets this weekend. They could actually win a game.
That's possible.
All right.
They could also lose it. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks, okay, guys. Folks, again, that's the Greg Bedard Red Sox championship schedule. When the Red Sox win championships, Bedard goes 3-5. So I expect to see you next week, 3-5.
Yep.
Frankly.
This is going to go on away, on a ways.
Because we think this thing is over. We do have one hold on that opinion, though. Guess who it is, everybody?
Wimp.
Let's pick it up on the other side. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people. People, great service since 1928.